Apples should never wear turtlenecks. Pears should always wear dark colors on the bottom. Rectangles have a boyish figure. Hourglasses have the ideal body shape. Have you been harmed by traditional body shape advice? I think most of us have in one way or another. Whether it's left you more confused about what to wear or made you feel worse about your natural shape, the truth is traditional body shape advice leaves a lot to be desired. Today, we're talking about what it gets wrong and how to think differently. Let's get started. Hello, gorgeous. Welcome back to the Everyday Style School, the podcast that gives real lifestyle advice to real life women. If you're new here, welcome. I am your host, Jennifer Mackie Mary. I'm a wardrobe stylist who's been dressing everyday women for over 20 years, and I'm the founder of Everyday Style, where we're on a mission to inspire women to love the way they look and give you the tools to make getting dressed easy. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. I know you have a million podcasts to choose from, and it means so much to me that you choose mine. So thank you. Okay, last week, I taught a free class on how to make a few of the spring trends I talked about in our last episode work for the different body shapes. And if you watch the class, some of what we're talking about today will be a review for you. I encourage you to stick around because there are a few things that I didn't talk about in the class, but also because understanding your body shape and how to dress it best is rarely a one and done conversation. Hearing something a few times helps to clarify it and commit it to memory. So next time you're in a fitting room or shopping online, you're more likely to remember the principles in the moment rather than buying something and remembering only after the return window has passed and you're wondering why you never wore that dress or that jacket. So stick around. Now, if you're wondering, what class? What did I miss? Well, my love, you are either not on my email list or you don't read my emails. One of the two. I've done a couple of mini classes so far this year, and I've got more planned, but the invitations are exclusively sent through email. So if you want to come to these totally free, super valuable classes, you got to be on the list. You can head over to the show notes. We have a link to sign up to get our mini capsule wardrobe guide. Not only will you get on the list for the classes that we do, but you'll also get to see how we make 30 outfits out of just 10 pieces. So sign up, don't miss the next class. And once you're on the list, read the emails. If you missed the spring trends for your body shape class and you want to watch it, we have added the replay to the Style Circle membership where it will live for an entire year. All right, let's talk body shape advice and where it goes wrong. By the way, I know we have been talking about body shape a lot lately, and I don't quite know why. There have been a few things that have sort of come at me and I feel the need to continue talking about it. I think this will be it for a hot minute, but yeah, it's a body shape episode. All right, let's do it. First, I want to address the biggest criticism of body shape advice because anytime I talk about this, somebody's going to say, body shape advice is outdated and you should just wear what you want to wear. And I don't know how many times I can say this or have to say this, but what the heck, let's just do it one more time. I agree. Yes, I agree. At least partly. Women should just wear what they want to wear. Whatever makes you feel good, wear that. Whatever you love, wear that. Whatever makes you feel like a hot mama, wear that. My advice, or body shape advice in general, isn't for the people who have reached that enlightened state. If you have, I applaud you. My advice, and the reason that I do what I do, is for the women who put on a turtleneck and think, ugh, I look like a linebacker. I shouldn't have had those French fries at lunch. Or the woman who tries on pants that pull across the hips and thinks, oh, I should leave my car in the parking lot and run home. I know from personal experience that body dissatisfaction, at least some, not all, can come from not understanding your body shape, and what certain clothing elements do for that shape. So if you don't like what you see in the mirror, I want you to understand that often it's not you, it's the clothes. And the clothes are an easy fix. And along with that, I want to say one more time that you don't have to dress your best. I do not believe in using body shape advice to create this little box of 10 rules that you must follow. That is the wrong approach. Now, as to whether or not body shape advice is outdated, my response would be, well, it depends on how you use it. And that's what we're talking about today. The first thing traditional body shape advice gets wrong is that it almost solely focuses on flattery or how things look. And obviously, that's a huge part of it. Yes, I get that. But understanding your shape is also about fit. The most straightforward example of this is curvy pants. If you're an apple or a super straight rectangle, pants that are smaller in the waist than they are in the hips are going to fit you terribly. And if you don't know why those jeans are uncomfortably tight in the waist, but baggy everywhere else, you might think you're the problem. And you might even think that you need to size up so that you can breathe, which just makes the problem worse. You can also think about hourglasses in classic dress shirts and pears in pencil skirts. There are a lot of places where body shape and fit intersect. And sometimes I'm surprised by how many grown women have never considered that their fit issues are caused by their shape and the shape of the clothing not aligning. Often we take it personally and we feel like if we just changed that pencil shirt or that dress shirt or whatever would be perfect if we lost weight, if we worked out. And that's just not the case at all. I was 25 when I learned that the pants that were causing me so many issues style-wise and making me feel so bad about myself were simply the wrong pants. But since then, I've known how to look at a pair of jeans or a pair of trousers and say, nope, those aren't for me. Or, hey, I don't know, these could work. Let's try them. For me, understanding fit and body shape allowed me to be objective about clothes and my body and not take it so personally. And friend, if you're in that spot where you still are taking it personally, if you put something on and think you need to change rather than the clothes need to change, I want to encourage you to look at it differently, to look at, are the clothes I'm picking the right fit for my body shape? Not just flattery, just fit. It's not you most of the time. It's the pants. And there are better ones for you. I guarantee it. The second place where I take umbrage with traditional body shape advice is that a lot of the messaging about dressing your body feels like the leading thought is what's wrong with you or what you need to hide. And maybe that's why we say things like, oh, I can't wear turtlenecks a whole lot more than we say things like, I look dang good in a V-neck. And honestly, as somebody who gives body shape advice, sometimes it is easier to talk about what you should avoid. It's easier to point out, especially if you're trying to give quick and concise advice. But I really try to remember, I try hard, both in my message to you and in my business and in my personal life for myself. I try to remember that dressing your body best can start from a place of celebrating your body rather than disguising it. When I ask clients about the parts they like best and the parts they like least when it comes to their bodies, I get a laundry list of things they're unhappy with. Well, don't like my legs, don't like my butt, my tummy's too big, my arms are flabby. Well, I guess if I have to pick something I like, I guess my face is okay. Like it's really a struggle to get them to find something they like. And if we're using body shape advice to disguise the parts we don't like and we don't like anything, it's no wonder that we end up covered in mountains of extra fabric, which frankly, from a flattery perspective, has never been a winning strategy. Instead, what if we came at dressing our bodies from the perspective of highlighting the parts we like first and then cleverly dressing the parts we don't? I bet we would all look better, feel better, and have more fun. So if your inner monologue tends to lean toward the things you can't wear and the body parts you want to hide, make a list. Just take a second and make a list of all the styles you can wear, all the things you know you look good on you. I know you have things that look good on you. And add to that list the body parts you want to highlight. Force yourself to pick one if you have to. And if you can't do that, just choose the part you hate the least. Just start there. It's something. This is a simple shift in perspective that has a really, really big impact. Okay, the last three on my list of where body shape advice has gone wrong. I blame on magazines and all the articles that were some version of best blank for your body shape, or wear this, not that, for your body shape. I know most of the women listening right now have stood in a grocery store line reading a magazine you weren't going to buy just so you could finally find a good pair of jeans that would flatter you and fit you well. I know this because you are my people and I have done the same thing. Now, if you ever chose the longest grocery line so you could read more of the magazine or get a longer break from your kids, you are really my kind of people. And I know this because I've done that many, many times. Anyway, the first way magazines steered us wrong when it came to body shape advice was pretending that all bodies of the same shape are the same. They're not. They are not. Not all rectangles have a boyish figure. Oh, I hate that phrase. Or are athletic. Not all hourglasses are perfectly proportioned. Some hourglasses have a high waist, which makes them kind of a pear hourglass hybrid. And speaking of hybrids, the magazines never talked about a primary body shape or a secondary body shape, and you could kind of be one and the other. And I remember one day I was shopping with clients and I had back to back to back mini sessions. So it was three clients in one day, long day, and they all happened to be pairs. Their bodies were totally different, totally different. One was a very typical textbook pair. She was one size smaller on the top than she was on the bottom. She had a well-defined waist. She also had a high waist, very, very pear-y, right? Like, if we drew a picture of the pear body shape, it would be her. Another was a much more pronounced pear shape, at least two sizes smaller on top than on bottom. And the third one had a completely different body altogether, still one size smaller on the top than the bottom, but she had a long torso, a long waist, not really much of a curve, like curvy pants really didn't even work for her. She was almost like she was a stretched out, elongated version of a pear. And normally I loved it when I had clients of the same shape on the same day because I kind of had a head start with the second one. I already knew where all the pants were. I knew, well, like, oh, I can pull that jacket. Like, you know, it gave me a leg up. But there wasn't much crossover with these three at all. And it demonstrates that not all apples or pears or hourglasses or rectangles are created equal, even if they have the same label. And it's not just all due to size. But the magazine article says pears should wear whatever and presents it as gospel without mentioning any nuance or that your mileage may vary. And this is a starting point, not a slam dunk. This is exactly what will work for you. And along with that, the second way that magazines did us dirty was not mentioning that all clothing items, even the same item, are not created equal. So in the class that I mentioned earlier, I covered the short or crop jacket trend that I talked about on my last episode. All crop jackets are not created equal. So the answer to a question like, can an hourglass wear a crop jacket, is, well, that depends. First, what kind of hourglass? And then what kind of crop jacket? How cropped is it? Is it above the waist? Is it top of the hip? Does it have a collar? What material is it made out of? Is it structured? Is it fluid? Does it have chest pockets? Does it have a banded waist? Just do a search for cropped jackets and see the wide variety of what comes up. Chances are there's one that will work for you, or at least work better for you. Now, I understand that a magazine article can't give a PhD level dissertation on the many types of crop jackets and who they're best for, but when the recommendation is a generalized clothing item for a generalized body shape, an article that claims to make style easier actually makes it harder. This is why those best whatever for your body shape never helped you, because your unique body and the unique clothing item that you choose don't match the model, they don't perfectly fit, right? The last thing that the magazines left out, and I think most body shape advice leaves out, is that nothing exists in a vacuum. So the question, can an hourglass wear a crop jacket, has one more thing we need to ask ourselves after what kind of hourglass and what kind of crop jacket. And that is, how are you wearing it? A crop jacket with skinny jeans is very different than a crop jacket with a full midi skirt. My girls had this book when they were little, and it was like different animals. And the book was spiral bound on the left, and then it was cut into three horizontal sections. The pages were cut into three sections. So you could mix and match the different animal heads, bodies, and legs. So you could have like a bird head with a hippo body and duck legs. Do you know the kind of books I'm talking about? They got such a kick out of this. I got such a kick out of it. Every time you swapped out one of those components, so you'd swap out the hippo body with, I don't know, a dog body, you'd end up with a totally different creature. It's the same thing with your outfits. Swap a structured jacket for a drapier one. Swap a fitted bottom layer for a flowy one. Swap a slim jean for a trouser leg. And you have a completely different look. In the mini class, I encouraged our women to dig a little bit deeper next time you try on something that you don't like. Instead of saying, "Ugh, this looks awful," ask yourself what you don't like about it and how you could change it up. Spend a little bit of time investigating whether it's the item or just the styling. And as you probably know, I'm not the biggest fan of online shopping. I think you end up with a better wardrobe when you go see the clothes in person, you touch them and try them on. But this is actually an area where online shopping has a huge advantage. When you online shop, you have your entire wardrobe handy to play with. So if you don't like that top that you just bought, try it with a skirt that you know you love, or try it with a different style of jean. Play with length and volume and structure and proportion. You may end up just saying, "No, I actually hate this top." That's cool. On the other hand, you might find out that, no, I could just style it differently and now it works. I ordered a top a few weeks ago from a store that I had never ordered from, and it was final sale, which made me very nervous until I remembered that I forget to return everything anyway. So for me, in all honesty, things are final sale. That's just kind of how it works. So I ordered it. I got the package. I got it from my front doorstep, and I pretty much just tried it on right there with the jeans that I was wearing. And it was a little bit shorter and a little bit more fitted than I am used to. And I was like, nope, don't like going back. And I thought, oh, wait, no, not going back. I'm keeping it. So, because I can't return it. So I went upstairs, I went to my closet, and I pulled out a pair of higher waist pleated linen trousers that should not work on my body, but somehow do. I don't understand how it works, but whatever. And you know what? It's a great outfit. And I can't wait to wear it out when the weather warms up a little bit. On its own, this top would have been a dud, would have been like in the donate pile immediately. But remember, no single clothing item exists in a vacuum, and how you style it can have a huge, huge impact. This is just one thing that those magazines never, ever mentioned. All right, there you have it, friends. Five things I think traditional body shape advice and magazines have gotten wrong. I hope this gives you a little mindset shift about dressing your body shape. If you have been using body shape advice as rules or solely to disguise the parts you don't like, it's time to take a more modern approach. Use it to find clothes that fit your shape better. Boy, life gets easier when clothes fit better. Use it to celebrate the parts you do love. And remember that bodies and clothes are all unique, so don't be afraid to just try. And because I have to say it again, wear what you love. That's the most important part. Before we wrap up, I want to take a minute to acknowledge the passing of a style icon and someone that I have been a fan of my entire career, Iris Apfel. She passed away during capsule creation, and it kind of crossed my radar, but now I have time to think about it, and it makes me very sad. If you are not familiar with her, the short version is that she was an American businesswoman, an interior designer, and a fashion icon. You would probably recognize her best as the old lady with the huge glasses and tons of costume jewelry. The BBC called her the matriarch of maximalism, and I think that's the absolute perfect description. Her motto was, "More is more and less is a bore." Love that. I often talked about Iris as an example of authenticity. Her over-the-top wardrobe and accessories worked for her. It just looked like it belonged. It looked natural. But if any of us tried to copy her style, we definitely would not have been too successful. We would have looked like we were going to a costume party. She was just the epitome of signature style. And I think what I'm most struck by as I get older and I think about aging more is that Iris Apfel aged joyfully, not just gracefully. A lesson we can all learn from her is to lean into style as we get older instead of becoming invisible and fading away as a lot of us do as we age. She didn't become a fashion icon until she was almost 90, so there's still time left for all of us. So with that in mind, I want to end our Iris Apfel moment with these slightly abridged words. Quote, Coco Chanel once said that what makes a woman look old is trying desperately to look young. Why should one be ashamed to be 84? It's nice that you got to be so old. It's a blessing. Thank you to Iris Apfel for 102 stylish years. She was absolutely a blessing. All right, I'll see you next time. And until then, remember that your everyday matters, so get dressed for it. And that's a wrap. Thank you for listening today. If you're loving the Everyday Style School podcast, I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Style Circle. It's our monthly all-access membership that gives you everything we create to make style easy so you can save time and money, have easier mornings, and more confidence all day long. You get our seasonal capsule wardrobe guides, all of the masterclasses we offer, and our exclusive members-only podcast, the Everyday Style School Extra Credit. Plus, you're invited to the Facebook community where you can get even more style support and inspiration. I would love to get to know you and support your style journey. It's just $19 a month, less than the cost of a clearance shirt you're never going to wear. Come join me and make your everyday style easier.